There is two verses that I'd like us to focus on this morning. It's verses 6 and 7. So I'll just read those verses again. So verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Those very famous verses, those very famous words in Philippians 4 that a lot of people know. I know it's been a memory verse in the Bay when we've done children's activities, children's Bible clubs and things like that. But these verses are amazing. They give us an amazing insight into who our God is and how we should approach our God. Well, just before we start, I think it's worth knowing that we're talking about anxiety here, aren't we? You know, the fourth word in verse 6 is anxious. And anxiety is a big problem today. I think it's always been a big problem, but because of the way that the world is and that we can help people more, that anxiety is known to people and it's something that people are going through. And I found a few statistics just to highlight how much anxiety is a problem in people's lives. And in 2013, there were 8.2 million cases of anxiety in the UK. So these cases are when people have gone to their doctor because they're feeling anxious and they've had some treatment in some way. But 8.2 million cases of anxiety in the UK, that's a big number. And 40 million adult Americans, that's 18.1% of the whole population of America, suffer from an anxiety disorder. And of course, like I said, these are the people who have gone to the doctor with this problem and they've sought medical help. They've been given tablets or they've gone to talk about their problems. I think if we were to put everyone's anxiety, so if anxiety from any, if that's workplace anxiety, that those figures would be a lot higher. We've all suffered from anxiety at one point or another in our lives. So everyone will suffer from this in their lives. It might not happen for years, but then there'll be a time when you do. You will go through a time of anxiety where what you're going through will become the big thing. It will become something that is bringing you down. It becomes everything. Your mind starts to work overtime, doesn't it? You know, these anxiety problems can become crippling in your lives. It's all you can think about. It's all encompassing, if you want to put it like that. You can't think about anything else. And when your mind starts to work overtime, you go to the worst case scenario, don't you? You think, well, this has happened, so that will happen, and that will happen, and that will happen. You know, you're about 10 steps ahead of yourself, but that's the way we are. That's the way our mind works. And we get this horrible feeling deep inside. You know, it's in our chest, isn't it? It's this heavy feeling, like the weight of the world is on you. And that's all you can think about. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? I don't know if any of you have suffered from anxiety. Even small levels of anxiety can bring that feeling of just this heavy, uncomfortable feeling. People stop sleeping. People stop eating. People don't leave their houses in the worst case scenarios. It's awful. People will offer advice to people who are going through it. As caring people, we do, don't we? We're trying to offer advice to these people who are going through these hard situations. And maybe if you've been going through it and someone has done this advice to you, they've said, oh, don't worry about it, because what's worrying going to do? It's not going to change the situation. It's not going to stop what's happening. And when someone gives you that advice, we know that advice is true. Of course, worrying is not going to change what you're going through. It's not going to change the situation. But when you're in it, when you're in that anxiety, when you're going through that, you just can't switch it off. It's all encompassing. It's there and you can't stop it. So that advice, of course, is good advice because it's right advice, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help in that situation. But then we come to these verses that we read, verses 6 and 7, and we've got two verses here, and there's many, many more in the Bible where it talks about what we have to do when we're struggling with things. And these two verses this morning are just so incredible that these are the reason why I wanted to share them with you this morning, because it gives us a view of our God on who he is. And of course, it shows us a fresh vision of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we come to these verses, I've got 3 points this morning. And the first point is, we need to come in thanksgiving. We need to come in thanksgiving. So in these verses, we're told in everything and anything that we are to bring to God our problems, our petitions, our prayers. Maybe notice when it says everything and anything, it means anything and everything. To bring absolutely anything that you're going through. That can be anything. See, everyone deals with anxiety differently and worry differently. Some people, will not worry about exams, maybe. And other people will be really stressed about exams. Other people won't find what they're doing in work stressful, but other people will. We all deal with things differently. And this is amazing with what this says, because it says with anything and anything, whatever you're going through, whatever your anxiety is, whatever your problems are, you can bring them to God. We can bring them to God in prayer. It says to bring, it says don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we all worry. Paul is acknowledging that here, isn't he? Because he wouldn't say don't be anxious if people don't worry. Paul is an amazing pastor. He's an amazing minister. He knows people. He knows their problems. He knows what they're going through. So he's saying here, don't be anxious. This is obviously a problem that people are going through. So Paul is addressing that here. But what Paul is saying here is that we don't have to stay in our anxiety. We don't have to let that anxiety take over. We don't let it have to become everything. We don't have to let it be everything about our lives. We can bring it to God. We don't have to be anxious about anything anymore. We don't have to be anxious. It doesn't matter what it is. We can bring it to God in prayer. But the one thing it says to do, which I think we sometimes miss over or we just read over, is it says that we're to bring our petitions, our anxieties to God with thanksgiving. It says that in the text, doesn't it? So with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But how can we bring our anxieties, our problems, the things that we're really struggling with, how can we bring those to God with thanksgiving? How can we come before God when we're worrying about all these things and give thanks? Well, the first thing to say is that we're not coming to God and saying, thank you for the problems we're going through. We're not coming and saying, thank you for the illness that we have, or thank you for the problem or the situation that we're in. We're not saying that. We could come after we have gone through this and say, thank you for that, because that has enabled my faith in you to increase. But when we're coming like this, we're not saying thank you for the problems. We're coming in thanksgiving because we're acknowledging that we can come to him with our worries. We're acknowledging who he is. We're acknowledging, because of our position that we have with God, we can come. We're coming with thanksgiving because we don't deserve to be able to come in the first place. We don't deserve to be able to come into the presence of God with our problems. We're coming with thanksgiving because we are completely reliant on God in everything. We are completely reliant on him. We're completely reliant on the air that we breathe, the food we have, our relationships. They're all because of God. We're reliant on him in everything. And we're coming in thanksgiving because we understand what the cost of our salvation was. The very reason we can come into God's presence, we are giving him thanks for, because we are aware of what that took in the first place for us to come like that. We must understand this. We must understand our standing with God. We must understand it. Because by understanding, we see what God has done. We see how much he loves us. We see the lengths that he went to. We see that he loves us even though we don't deserve it. We really don't. We all need to see this. We all need to see and understand the cost of our salvation. What it took. And this brings thanksgiving in itself. When you understand that Christ came to die on that cross, it should bring thanksgiving. It should bring you to your knees in acknowledgement of what he has done. And if it doesn't, if that doesn't cause you to give thanks and doesn't cause you to be in awe of God, then I don't think we understand it. If that's you this morning, if you are not caused to come like that, I think we need to come afresh. We need to see and understand what God has done for us through his son. See, as a Christian, our basic fundamental position in our lives should be one of giving thanks to God. We owe him everything. We should be coming with thanksgiving. We need to keep our focus on him. We need to keep coming back. And when we keep coming like this with thanksgiving, it points us to Christ, doesn't it? Because without him, we'd have nothing. Without him, we'd be still in the darkness. We'd still be lost. We're trying to be clinging onto anything that we think will bring us happiness. That's where we would be. See, giving thanks is the only proper context to come to God with our requests. Giving thanks to God isn't just saying it as well. It's not like when we talk to our children when we're raising them and we tell them to say thank you. We all do it, don't we? And of course we should. It's good manners. We say, when someone hands you a drink or gives you a toy or whatever, you say, what do you say? And they say thank you. And we're instilling in them that idea of gratitude, aren't we? But for a long period of time, our children are just saying thank you because they think it's the right thing to do. They don't mean it. And there is a point, and I know I got there with my children, when you can see when someone gives them something and they're grateful, they understand what it costs if it's a present. They understand that there's a cost behind it. And this is how we should be coming to God. We shouldn't just be coming and saying thank you because we think it's the right thing to do. We should be understanding what our thanks means. We need to be aware of our sin and our rebellion. We need to know that God didn't need to save us. We don't add anything to God. God is perfect. And we don't give him anything. He didn't need to save us. And coming, saying thank you isn't a tick box exercise. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. We shouldn't be saying thank you because we think we should be saying thank you. We should be saying thank you because we mean it and we understand what it is. See, being thankful to God is a real, it's a true acknowledgement of all that God has done in our lives. It's understanding what that means, and it's knowing that we haven't done a thing to deserve it. It's knowing that we come empty-handed. We all come empty-handed this morning. We don't bring him anything. We can't do anything. You can't do, I said in the prayer at the beginning, we can't do a series of good works and then we're there, because we're so far off. We've got our backs completely against him. We're rebels. Our nature, our very nature, is that we're opposed to God, that we think that we knew best. That first sin in the Garden of Eden, showed that we thought we could do better. That we thought that we could be our own gods. We didn't need to do what God said. And just look where that has come, where we've come from there. It's not just as simple as saying the word, is it? And I think we need to understand that. Because we need to come knowing and understanding that we're completely reliant on God. It's coming to our knees in prayer, isn't it? It's coming acknowledging who we are. It's being humbled every time. It's humbling ourselves when we come to pray. It could be literally being on your knees. It's coming and acknowledging who God is and what he's done. We don't always come like this, right? Prayer is a hard thing. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle to know what to pray for. I struggle when I read the word and I struggle to know what to pray. It's hard because we are, as we said, we are rebels. This isn't a natural thing for us to do, is to come in prayer, but we're told to do it. This is it's a communication with God. It's entering into his presence, and it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to do. But we should come like this, shouldn't we? We should be coming, understanding and being thankful for everything that God has done in our lives. So when we do come with our anxieties, when we pray, we need to acknowledge that all that we have, we need to come saying, Lord, we thank you that we can come in the first place, that we have a relationship with you that's not based on who we are and what we've done. Our relationship with you is based purely and utterly on the sacrifice of your Son. And that we come into your presence, because if we believe in him, if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, then we can have a relationship. We need to be grateful about this. We need to understand it. So as we come with our petitions, as we come with our anxieties, we should be coming with thanksgiving. We should be coming with thanksgiving. That's point one. Point two, the protection of God. So when we come like this, when we come in the way that we've just talked about in point one, when we come in thanksgiving, when we come acknowledging that all that God has done for us, when we come knowing that we would be lost without him, something happens. When we come like this, And we can see it in the text as a direct consequence of bringing our petitions to God, our anxieties to God, with thanksgiving. God will give us his peace. It says that in the text, doesn't it? It says if we make our request known to God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. A direct consequence is that we'll have the peace of God. Our acknowledgement of our complete reliance on God means that when we're coming on our knees, we acknowledge that he's the only one who can help us. And we don't do this very well, because we are still sinners and we still try to do things in our own strength. We still try and do that. So to acknowledge that we need someone else's help is a big thing for us. But that's what we're doing here. To come in this way, like this, we have to acknowledge that we have to come in this way, acknowledging that we need God. But what does the peace of God do? What does it do in our lives? Well, the answer is in the text, isn't it? It says it will guard our hearts and our minds. So we need to understand this picture, don't we? This idea of guarding. See, Paul is giving us a picture here, isn't he, that we're to take away. So to guard someone or something is to protect it, isn't it? It's to offer protection. A bodyguard. I don't mean the Hollywood ideas of a bodyguard, but a bodyguard's job is to keep someone safe, isn't it? So they look for the danger, and then they maybe would place themselves in the middle of that danger, or to save someone by taking them away from the harm that maybe they're under. They're standing in the way of that. Another idea of protection is castles, isn't it? You know, we're very fortunate in Wales to have many castles that we can go and visit. But castles have got big walls and big defences. And if you do any history, if you like history, and look into the way that castles are made, it's all about defence. It's all about keeping people out. And that's what we're to look at when we look at this. It's to keep people safe. Another way you could say is to garrison our hearts and our minds. A garrison, an army barracks. If you drive past any army barracks, you see the cameras, you see the barbed wire, you see the big fences. It's all about safety. And this is what the peace of God does to our hearts when we come like this. But so much more. Because we're not relying on walls, we're not relying on someone else, as in a human man. We're relying on God. We're coming before God. God becomes the wall. God becomes the bodyguard. God stops those feelings of anxiety getting through. He stops them. We can trust in him. But more than that, we're coming like this. And as we come, we're resting in God. We're acknowledging that all we have, again, acknowledging all that we have, is because of God. See, before we came like this, before we came to God in prayer, those anxieties that we had reigned in our lives, they were leading us, they were leading our thoughts, they were leading our actions. They took over. But as we come like this, as we come with thanksgiving, the peace of God reigns in our hearts and our minds. So we must see that Paul, this is a letter written by Paul to the Philippians, that he is in prison at this point when he's writing this letter. And the threat of execution over Paul's head is a very real one. He doesn't know if the next minute or the next day someone's going to be coming into that jail cell to take him away and he'll be killed. But he could write these words at that very moment. He could write that he has the peace of God because he's coming with thanksgiving. I find that so encouraging that Paul, a man, obviously, who's been worked mightily by God, has got the peace of God, even though he's at the point where he's being persecuted, where he's in a jail cell. But we need to understand, and I think by looking at this and putting it into context where Paul is and why he's writing this letter from where he is, helps us to understand what the peace of God will do in our lives. Because with Paul, he says he has the peace of God, but the situation hasn't changed what he's in, is it? Suddenly, because he's come in prayer, and we know that God can do this from the scriptures, but he hasn't taken him away from that situation. He's still in that jail cell. He's still there. He's still going through what he's going through. And we need to understand this as we come. When we come and pray like this, and we pray about the situation, God will give us peace about the situation. He might not take the situation away, but he will help us and give us peace about it. It will enable us to cope with what we're going through. It will enable us to get through it. It's about trusting in God. We're resting in God. See, we need to have complete and utter trust in the God that we come to worship. It's like with the picture of the bodyguard and the castle. You know that the danger is there. You know, that those castles were made so when a siege was happening or someone was trying to attack it, that those walls would protect them. So we need to come like this. We need to know that when we're coming, we feel safe. That the danger is still there and it's going on, but we feel safe because we have the peace of God. And no one can really explain this peace. No one can. There's books been written on this about the peace of God. But it says in the text, doesn't it? It will surpass all understanding. This peace of God that we're having, it surpasses all understanding. It's almost supernatural. It's from God Himself. It's from God Himself. You feel this, the protecting arms of God around you. You feel His love. You feel His presence in your lives. You can't understand it. You can't put your finger on it and say, well, that's it. It's just, it's the peace of God. It's the feeling. It's the understanding of that we're resting in God and we're trusting in Him. See, the peace that we receive just transcends human understanding of what it is. It really does. We can't bottle it, or we can't say if you do this and you do that in human terms that we'll get this peace. We're coming. The only way we can get this peace is by coming, like we've said, with thanksgiving, with our petitions in prayer. A commentator said about these words, he said that peace comes because prayer is an expression of trust, and God's people do not need to have it all figured out in order to trust Him. We don't need to have it all figured out, because if we did need to have it all figured out, we would never get there. God is so vast and so amazing that we're never going to figure it out. And one of the true amazing things is that even when we're in heaven with God, there won't be a day that goes by if there's time in heaven where we won't learn something new about our Lord. Don't you find that amazing, that for eternity there is more? For eternity there will be more about our God. See, we don't need to understand it completely and fully to understand and get this peace that we're here. We just need to trust. We need to trust that as we come, and we come like this in prayer, we will have the peace of God. We will have the peace of God. See, what God is doing here is He's showing us how much we need Him. He's showing us through everything that we do, every part of our lives, we need to come like this because we need Him. We need to rely on Him. He's showing us our love, His love here. He's showing us the love that He has for us. We need Him completely. We don't just need Him for certain things. We don't need Him for half the day and then we can cope for the rest. We need Him all the time. We need Him at every single point of our lives. If we come acknowledging Him like this, He will guard us. He will put those walls up around our lives and He will protect us. So when we're going through times of anxiety and we come to God through faith, God is there for us. God helps us. And as we come like this, and as we come acknowledging that we can have this peace, it just makes us give thanks all the more. It makes us know that we do have a God who loves us, and He will be there for us. We're the ones who turn our backs on Him. We're the ones who rebelled against Him. We're the ones who thought we could make it on our own. And what God is showing here is that we can't make it on our own. But what He's doing is He's acknowledging that because of the sin in our lives, that we need Him. And we need to come acknowledging him in the way that we've talked about. Acknowledging that we need Him in everything. That we need to come and be thankful in our lives to Him about all that we have. See, to come like this, to come and give ourselves completely over to God. We feel His presence, don't we? I don't know if you've ever come like this, if you've ever had these big anxieties that have taken over and you've come on your knees, you've humbled yourself before Him. You feel His presence in your life. As you pray, you feel this weight, you feel the anxiety slip away. It becomes about Him. This is what God is doing here. He's showing Himself to us. And He's showing that when we come and when we turn in our need, He will be there. He will protect us and He will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And then finally, point three. I've simply named this point Christ Jesus. See, the protection that we have, the guarding of our hearts and minds, will only happen to us who are in Christ Jesus. It says that in the text, doesn't it? Right at the end, there's three little words at the end of verse 7. In Christ Jesus. As with everything, nothing will be possible without our Lord Jesus Christ. We owe him everything. So when we come to God in prayer, we must remember what has had to take place for in order us to come in the first place. It shouldn't be something that we forget. It shouldn't be something that we just pass over. You know, when we know something all the time, when we know about this, sometimes we can forget, maybe it becomes too, we think about it too frequently. I suppose it's like if you move to a beautiful part of the country where you've got this amazing view out of your window when you make your coffee in the morning. That view for maybe the first week or so is amazing every single time you look at it, but over the months, over the years, it just becomes another view. It becomes just a view out the window. We cannot approach Jesus Christ and we cannot approach our true and living God in this way. We need to be astonished every single time we come. We need to have a fresh vision of us. We can't become complacent with the reality that we have here. See, here in the text, it's just mentioned at the end, and you could almost overlook it, couldn't you? There's three little words at the end, in Christ Jesus. But they are so important. They're as important as anything else that we've read this morning. To be in Christ, to be in Christ is new birth. We're born again. We're new creatures in Christ. And as we've seen, to be in Christ is protection. We can't approach God in any other way. We can't do it. There's no back door. We can't dig under the wall. We can't climb over. The only way we can approach God is in Christ Jesus. See, without Christ, we'd all be going to eternal punishment, wouldn't we? An eternal punishment that we all do deserve. We do all deserve that eternal punishment. But Christ left heaven, became a man, with all the frailties that go with that. He can become tired, he could feel pain, he could suffer. And he did that so he could come to die for us. That's astonishing. Every single time I think about it, it's astonishing that Christ, part of the Trinity, left heaven where it always existed, where he couldn't die, and that he took on flesh and made it possible for him to die so that he could take the punishment that we deserve. That is our Saviour. He went to the extremes. He went to the only place where we could have salvation. Is what he did is the only way we could have salvation. He did all that. He did all that so we could be redeemed and we can come before God. He did it so we can have a relationship with God. See, we were created to have this relationship with God. We were created in the first place to have a living relationship with God. We were made for that. But we're the ones who spoilt it. We're the ones who sinned. We're the ones who put our own selfish, sinful desires before that of God. We're coming like this. See, our sin was taken to the grave by Christ. It was taken to the grave. And as Christ is raised from the dead, we're raised with him. We're joined with him, aren't we? We read, don't we, that we've got imputed righteousness. And we're clothed in Christ's righteousness. We become part of Christ. That's what it means to be in Christ. It's when God looks on us. He doesn't see our sin and our failures. He sees Christ and all his righteousness. See, in Christ is full assurance. We have assurance that we will be in heaven with him. We will go to heaven. We have a hope. A certain hope that in Christ Jesus we will go to heaven to be with him. We'll spend eternity with Jesus Christ. We'll spend eternity with our God. See, Christ's death was full payment, wasn't it? No more needs to be done. No more needs to be done. And all this, all that I've just mentioned, is available to absolutely everyone. And this helps us, doesn't it, in our outreach, in our witnessing to our friends, our colleagues. You mentioned at the beginning about the open-air outreach. As we go, we understand that We're not going in our own strength. We're going in weakness, knowing that we can't save anyone. The words that we say will not save. It is God who saves. God might use those words that we say, but it's all on God. God will save. And I thank him every day for that. For the work that I do with Christians Against Poverty. Obviously, you know a bit about that work with having Neil as the centre manager here. But as we go to see people, I think I drive myself a bit potty, a bit insane by thinking that I'm the one who needs to save these people. Because that's a big pressure to have. And there's no way that we can ever do that. I'm going and praying that these people will be saved because God will work in them. I'm praying that God will use them, will work in their lives, will use my witness, will use what we're helping them with there to save them, to show them that they need God, that they need to acknowledge their sins and their rebellion against God. See, we think as saved Christians this morning, as we come and think about these things, is that we think that the gospel is something that we go out and tell people. And of course it is, isn't it? The gospel is good news. It's the good news to salvation. And we should. We should be going out every day. We should be using the opportunities that God gives us to share the gospel. But the gospel isn't just for unsaved people, for non-Christians. We, as saved Christians, need the gospel as much as anyone. The gospel saves, but the gospel also sustains. It keeps our minds fixed on him. So you need Christ. Every single person in this room needs Christ. You need Christ. I need Christ. And if we believe that Christ is the Son of God and he did all that he did to die for our sins, then you are in Christ. If you trust in him, if you know that you are a rebel, a sinner, and you come in acknowledgement that we are, there's no way that we can ever attain that salvation through works, then you're in Christ. You're saved. You have a relationship with the one true and living God. Your sins are forgiven. And you can come to your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father. We can come as his children. We can come into his embrace. So you're able, through him, to come to God and bring your anxieties to him. You're able to do that. And we need to acknowledge that we need to come at this in thanksgiving. See, Christ knows what it's like to feel anxiety. I preached a few months ago on passages in Hebrews where it talks that we have a God who is able to sympathize with us. You know, Jesus Christ, with the way that he came and the way that he lived his earthly life, was able to sympathize with us because he could feel pain, he could feel anxiety. And he did. Christ knew what it was to feel anxious. Because we can read, can't we, in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 22, in verses 42 to 44, said, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.' And there appeared to an angel from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground." So the pressure of what Christ came to do, the pressure of our sin, knowing that the only way for our sins to be forgiven was for him to die on that cross, is to take the punishment, to be outside of the relationship with God, caused him to sweat drops of blood. That's pressure. That is pressure. Jesus knew what pressure was. He knew what anxiety was. So if you think this morning as you come that you're not loved, well, you are. Christ went through everything so that he would be able to save us in the way that he's done. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. See, everything that we've talked about, everything that Jesus has done for us, everything that we can have because of our relationship should bring thanksgiving. See, we must remember what Christ did for us. We have everything because of him. We have gained everything because of him. See, we should be coming to God with thanksgiving when we pray. And a direct consequence of that is that we receive the peace of God. And the only way we can get the peace of God in the first place is because we are in Christ. And because we're in Christ is the very reason we can come in the first place with our thanksgiving. You see what this is? It's a cycle. It's as we come, we understand our sin more, and we give thanks because of the sacrifice that Christ did. And because of that, we give thanks even more. And then we see that we need to rely on him more. And when we do rely on him, we give thanks as well, even more. This is the God that we're coming before this morning. This is the God who has done everything for us. So when you are anxious, when you come with your problems, when you're struggling, whatever it is, it could be something that is unique to you, a certain pressure that you can't shake. We're told in God's word to come with those anxieties and bring them to God in prayer. Each one of us this morning can do this. If you're struggling this morning with something, bring it now at the end, after we've sung the last hymn, or bring it now. Bring it to him in prayer. He will protect you. He will guard you. He will lift you up. He might not change the situation, but he will give you the strength to get through it. We have an amazing God. And the more I read and the more that I study God's word, it's just so obvious that, of course, it's all about him. God's word, we should be coming to him. The very reason we're here in the first place is because God made us. We need to come acknowledging that it's all about him. We have an amazing God who wants a relationship with us. God did not send Christ to condemn the world. The world was condemned already because of our sin. But he has given us a way to come before him this morning. To come before us ultimately to have forgiveness of our sins. But he doesn't leave it there, does he? He doesn't say, look, you've had salvation and that's it. I'm going to leave you now until I come again. No, he says, I'm going to be with you for all of your life. I will help you through everything, through the anxieties, through the pains of life. He will be there. Acknowledge before him today. Acknowledge all that we should be thankful for. If you're in Christ Jesus this morning, you have the peace of God. And that peace will guard our hearts and our minds. Let's acknowledge that. That's as we pray now, as we finish. Let's all acknowledge all that we have, all that we do, all that we are is because of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we do just acknowledge this morning that all that we are, all that we have, and all that we do is because of Christ Jesus. Lord, that you sent him to die on that cross so that we could be saved. Lord, I pray now that we would all acknowledge, each one of us here this morning will acknowledge our need of you. Lord, that we would come in our anxieties, that we would come and ask that you would help us, that you would guard our hearts. Lord, but we come in thanksgiving, giving you the thanks that we can come in the first place, giving you the thanks that everything we have is because of you. So help us now as we sing this last hymn to acknowledge that. To acknowledge that not just now, just in this church, but acknowledge it in all our aspects of our lives. Acknowledge it as we get up in the morning, as we go to bed at night, at every moment of the day that we acknowledge that we have a God who loves us and a God who wants to have a relationship with us and made it possible for us to have that through the death of his Son. So, Lord, this morning we give you all the praise, all the honour, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.